Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. We are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 39, the very first paragraph. Today's readers are Lisa N. reading the 12 Steps, Monica K. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Lorraine N., Leslie M., and Kara L. Our newcomer greeter will be Betsy H., and announcements will be given by Shelley E. The share ID for the last two meetings, Tuesday, November 1st at 10 a.m. Eastern, the share ID is 19,581 or 19581. And for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, East Coast, on November 2nd, the share ID is 19,585. Or 19,000, 19585. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lisa N. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Lisa N. And Monica K., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning. My name is Monica K. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought to never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Let the problem of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service center may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought to never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought to never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from this literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and when you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 39 in the Big Book, the first paragraph on page 39. And I will ask Lorraine N. to get us started. Good morning, Lorraine.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, and good morning, everyone. I'm Lorraine N., recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. That may be true of certain non-alcoholic people who, though drinking foolishly and heavily at the present time, are able to stop or moderate because their brains and bodies have not been damaged as ours were. But the actual or potential alcoholic, with hardly an exception, will be absolutely unable to stop drinking on the basis of self-knowledge. This is a point we wish to emphasize and re-emphasize to smash home upon our alcoholic readers as it has been revealed to us out of bitter experience. Let us take another illustration. Well, it tells me on the previous page that where alcohol has been involved, I've been strangely insane. Strong language, but isn't it true? So I can't trust my mind when it comes to this disease because the book tells me I'm insane when it comes to my food addiction and that my brain and body has been damaged. And this is a paragraph with italics in it, which means it's important. And where it says here, we absolutely are unable to stop drinking or compulsive eating on the basis of self-knowledge. Well, I could fill a room with the self-help books I've bought over the decades. And a lot of them were good books with good ideas, and they probably worked if I followed them. And they didn't work for me. I mean, I know a lot, and but self-knowledge didn't help me when it comes to this disease. And it also tells me here that it says, and they say it three times, we wish to emphasize, re-emphasize, to smash home. That's pretty violent. They want us to get this idea, or me, to get this idea that I will never be normal around this my food addiction, and that my mind will always try to minimize this disease. I've learned that over time. So for me, it's about surrendering to this program, continuing to keep my nose in this book so that I don't forget, or that I start thinking I can intellectualize this thing. I've been down this road many, many times, and today I have neutrality around food, and I'm relatively peaceful much of the time. And although I have days when I'm not feeling so great, today's one of them. But I show up and do the best I can. And so I'm here to surrender to my program for another day. And thank you for allowing me to read and share today. I appreciate the opportunity. I look forward to the rest of the shares. I pass.
Thank you so much, Lorraine N. Okay. Now we are going to invite people who would like to share. And I want to suggest that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day, in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please let others get on the list first. Who would like to share today?
Jamie,
Jen Z,
Melanie
M. from
Melanie.
Oh, wow. Okay, the only one I got was Jane N. and Melanie C., I believe.
Jen Z.
Jen Z.
Tom L.
I'm sorry, what's your first name, the gentleman?
Tom L.
Tom L. Thank you, Tom. Who else?
Danielle
Bonnie
W.
B.
Danielle, is that Danielle W. or Danielle B.?
Danielle W.
Okay, great. Gotcha, Danielle.
Thank you.
And somebody B., who is that?
Bonnie B. from Minnesota.
Oh, great, Bonnie. Thank you. Bonnie B. So I have Jane N., Melanie C., Jen Z., Tom L., Danielle W., and Bonnie B. Did I miss anyone? Okay, let's begin then with Jane N. Please go ahead, Jane.
Hi, it's Jamie M. You probably couldn't understand, but
oh,
thank
okay.
you. It definitely was close. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I am Jamie M. from Southern California, grateful to be here, compulsive overeater. And wow, I have a mind that plays tricks on me. I couldn't believe it when I first started dieting. You know, I didn't really, you know, I'm going to lose a little weight. And I would do things that I thought were reality, like, you know, doing all these programs to lose weight. And I never understood. My mind would say, why can't you lose weight like them? Because I didn't know in the beginning I was a compulsive overeater. It wasn't like it was advertised, or I'd been around other compulsive overeaters until I got into this program and I found I wasn't alone. They said, welcome. And they said, welcome home. And as I tried to do the program my own way, well, I know nutrition, those people aren't, and I would deny myself. My mind would tell me, you're not as bad as them. One little bite, vegan desserts, they don't have sugar. You can know them, they're vegan. I mean, the things I would say to my mind would say to me was crazy. And so what I know today is I've got a three-legged stool. I work physical, emotional, and spiritual. I connect with my higher power. And then I go to program, and then I live my life in between. That's simple, very simple. But my disease will play tricks on me. I have medical issues. I am 54. I have never had medical issues like this in my life. Now, my mind says, well, you're so healthy. Oh, my God, you're like in the shape of your life, your personal trainer, blah, blah, blah. I am having medical issues. Very simple. I've shown up for appointments. And I realized I was trying to control this the other day. I was listening to this meeting, and they said there is a solution. I was still somehow driving my bus in my head with my mind. It's not that bad. You're in shape. That's not true. I have no idea what it is. I've taken all the tests, and I will meet with my doctor. But that's an outside thing, but my mind is not normal. So I'm grateful that I have a program and that I have a higher power to put me in my place. But get in the middle of the bus, keep your mouth shut, and just sit there, and then you'll get your answers. No future tripping, no nothing. Just be who you are. So I reached out. I made my phone calls. It's like brushing my teeth. When I get out of bed, do my thing, I brush my teeth. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick with my God and just let God decide what I do, not me. It's so much better. I just wish I could make it more simple, but that's why I keep coming. Thank you for letting me share. Thanks to everybody for the service. I pass.
Thank you, Jamie M., for sharing. Melanie C., please share with us.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm from Canby, Oregon, recovered, thank God, today. And I just got giddy when I heard all those voices come on, because the vision was how many folks, you know, have been given this solution and are so eager to share on this particular paragraph. It just made me giggle. And thank you. Thank you, God, for the miracles that abound here in this room. What I want to go over and look at here, and I'll think that I'll probably look at the word bitter experience, is to talk about the references of the resources that I had as a little person to be able to even understand that there was something going on at this particular deeper level was impossible for me. The influencers that I had around me at the time, you know, well-intentioned or whatever, was that diet was introduced to me very early. And it must have been going on around me, because I went on my first diet when I was in second grade. And then, of course, it just became more and more intense as time went on. And I was able to convince my mind and twist it around more and more each year that I just needed to find the right kind. And so that was the solution and the remedy that I had for being overweight. There was no other connection to anything else. It wasn't possible to be able to have that sort of thing. And the other little message, and all of this is in hindsight, and the other little message that I got at 16 years old, it was a loud, audible sound within my heart and soul that made me stop to think that there was really somebody in the room saying so, and that was, if you don't get a handle on this now, you never will. That was at 16. And that is as bright and vivid and anything that I can have at my particular age, anything staying in my mind. But the bitter experience that I have with all of that I did all of those years, I didn't get sober for good, thank God, as long as I keep following this path, until I was almost 50. I came into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous in 1989, and it wasn't until I was almost 50. So that was 17 years of relapsing in the room with having some sort of knowledge. And that there's some bitterness in that, and there's some bitterness in not having any kind of exposure, except my acceptance is that this is my particular spiritual path and journey that my higher power has me on, to strengthen something deeper in me than diet, to deepen something deeper in me than being overweight, which was my case. And so I'm able to let that sort of stuff go. But I'm wise enough now, because of you that pour into me, that I stay right here in the middle of this particular herd so that I can have the influence, the guidance, the wisdom of what disease looks like, and I can separate myself from what I had in the beginning. I have a parallel life, is what I talk about, from what the disease continues to be, and I have a parallel life of recovery, 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 because of what you pour into my life, it gives me access to power, which is God. I pass.
Thanks so much, Melanie C. Gen Z, please share with us.
Hi, my name is Jen Z. I'm a compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia. It's really good to be on this meeting this morning. Thank you, everybody, for your service. I just wanted to share real quick on that phrase about not being able to stop on the basis of self-knowledge. And, you know, for me, I've been in therapy, you know, for years and years and years. I've read self-help books. I'm an associate clinical social worker. I've studied psychology. and therapy and eating disorders and trauma and all this stuff. And you know what? I still a compulsive overeater. I still have the disease. And it was still crazy, out of control. And, you know, self-knowledge availed me nothing. And, you know, I had to learn, you know, and I knew there was a spiritual solution because I've been in the other program for many years. But with the food, it just manifested in such a way that I couldn't touch it with that. I needed, you know, to come to OA. And, you know, I first went to OA when I was 14, and I was severely anorexic and bulimic. And, you know, I wasn't ready. You know, and in my 20s or my late teens, early 20s, I would go to meetings and I would binge and purge on the way to meetings, you know. I had self-knowledge, you know, and I was gaining self-knowledge, but it wasn't enough, you know. For me, it wasn't enough. And what I'm hearing from everybody else is that it wasn't enough for them either. And, you know, I needed a spiritual solution. And like I said, I knew that it existed because of the other program. But like I said, I couldn't access it at the time. And I had to be ready. And, you know, about a year and a half ago, I came back into the rooms. And, you know, I've struggled a little with my abstinence. And I found Vision a couple months ago. And, you know, now I'm working with a sponsor, a Vision sponsor. And, you know, I'm doing my best to try and implement, you know, what she's teaching me about, you know, my higher power and my spirituality. And, you know, it's funny because I just did the chapter more about alcoholism for her. And, you know, and we're reading that chapter. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I hope everybody has a great day.
Thanks so much, Jen Z. Tom L., please share with us.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. I'm focusing on the very beginning. That may be true of certain non-alcoholic people who, though drinking foolishly and heavily at the present time, are able to stop and moderate. I believe, I want to be that. You know, I'm being foolish. This is crazy. I've passed 300 pounds again. I'm getting serious this time. I'm not stupid. I know the diets. I'm going to, you know, the magic is going to happen. I'm going to be able to control this thing. And of course, I love to control. I've been, you know, controlling and enjoying things since I was a little kid. I have a lot of practice, and I bring that machinery to bear on this problem. And then I find myself going over 400 pounds again. Well, maybe didn't figure it out. And then I bring that machine, because I'm addicted to solving my problems by myself. There's a chapter coming up. More About Alcoholism is full of, you know, horror stories. We just passed Halloween. There's plenty of spooky stuff in More About Alcoholism, being possessed by demons, essentially. But the next chapter it's terrifying to someone who is trying to run his own life. It's saying you have to surrender not just the food, not just a week, you know, a nightly meeting or a weekly meeting, you know, not just saying a prayer before meals, everything. You need to surrender everything all the time, and that's what we're aiming for. We're never going to be perfect, but that's what I need to do. And I'm an intellectual atheist. I have a lot of, you know, reasons to believe there is no God. And yet I'm going over 400 pounds one more time. What's it going to be? I get on my knees and I pray. And I surrender one day at a time because I cannot. I am not foolish. I am not stupid. I am powerless. I have an illness, a disease that requires a spiritual solution. Those words in that order to make that make sense to me, but I don't want to go over 400 pounds one more time, because when I do these things and I surrender everything, including going into work in a few minutes to a job that, you know, was not my choice, I need the money, and it requires me to do things I don't like. I just want to sit in bed all day and watch the internet and eat. I mean, that's my idea of a good time. This is not that. So I'm going to surrender my life, and you know what? Higher power shows up. Atheist or not, doesn't matter what I believe. If I take the actions, it shows up because I have no other choice. And I'm so glad to be here with people who, so many of you share that quality with me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Tom L. Danielle W., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you. Excuse me. This is Danielle W. from Southern California, recovered one day at a time, and happy to be here. You know, the word knowledge jumps off the page to me this morning. You know, I was raised in a home where knowledge was everything. You know, it was the key to unlock success and understanding and awareness. And that was my go-to. You know, I just needed to do enough research or study enough or immerse myself enough in some education in order to succeed. And it worked in every other aspect of my life. You know, every other aspect I could regulate based on knowledge. If I knew where I was financially, I could regulate spending. If I understood, you know, my past trauma, I could find healing. It was a key to success in my work or at school. And so I that was my go-to. And I really believed decade after decade that if I could just find the right information, I could solve my eating problems, that I could solve this. And it didn't matter what other people shared with me about their experience. I couldn't let go of this. I really had, this was the key. This was the key to unlock the problem and to find a solution. And one day, by the grace of God, it finally, you know, the sanity returned. And I realized it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I learn, what I understand, what I research. It doesn't matter what diet I find. It doesn't matter if I understand my metabolism. I mean, I could go on and on and on. You know, I could have 3 PhDs over based on the amount of work and research I'd done. And I finally had to accept that this go-to for me, this solution for me, was just not going to work here anymore. And it really left me in a state of panic and fear. You know, the one thing that helped me control my life wasn't going to work for me. And I love what the gentleman said about surrender. It really came to complete and total surrender. I had to put that down. Knowledge, self-knowledge availed me nothing. It wasn't going to work anymore. And I was left with nothing until I was able to turn into the program and start working the steps and find a sponsor and do the work and clean up the wreckage of my past. And then, by the grace of God, was able to find sobriety. And if I had held on to this, if I had continued down that road of insanity, I wouldn't have the life I have today. You know, I'm in a state of neutrality. I am so lucky to have finally realized that I couldn't do this. I had to turn to something greater than myself. I hope everybody has a great day. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Danielle W. And Bonnie B., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Bonnie B. from Minnesota, gratefully recovered today by the grace of my God, which is the God of the Bible. What an amazing chapter and what an amazing paragraph. I don't think there's any paragraph in this book that I don't, you know, ask myself, what would I not want to share on? The words that are used in this paragraph are so incredibly powerful. They've got the word actual, absolutely, emphasized, re-emphasized, bitter experience, smashed home. You know, when I came into this program, I also had a boatload of knowledge. On page 31, it says, here are some of the things that I tried, but some of the methods we tried. I wrote down everything I tried. The list was exhaustive. And not only was it expensive, it was repetitive. I tried many of those things more than once. This was never a lack of desire for me. And it was never a lack of willingness. It really came down to a lack of power. But until I came to that point, and it mentions it on page 30, where I fully conceded that I was an actual compulsive overeater. I wasn't a potential at that point. I was an actual. It was in my DNA. It wasn't something I did to myself. As much as I would like to have blue eyes, I have brown eyes. It's in my DNA. Until I came to that point and accepted it, surrendered it, and then embraced it, I was never able to step into that next spot. And that was the spot where God really took a hold of me and said, knowledge is nothing. Knowledge is, but knowledge for me was on the surface. I had a lot of knowledge, but I had nothing inside of me to give me that freedom. And so the idea of self-knowledge doing it for us, that was a stronghold for me. And the freedom for me came when I realized I didn't have to know everything, that the God that I served knew it all, and all I had to do was release it to him day by day and offer him my heart. And if I offer him my heart, he'll do the rest for me. And the one last thing I want to like focus in on is the word smash. When I think of that smashing something home, I think of getting someone's attention. And part of, you know, all of this to me, this entire chapter is about my journey. It's about me, God getting me to that place where he really had a hold of me, where he got my attention, and then I released it fully, and that's when life began to actually turn into something worth living. So I thank you for all you guys. Thank you for your service. So grateful for this program and the gift of being here. Thanks for hearing my name, and I will pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. And we are sharing on the first paragraph on page 39 in the big book for anyone who joined us late. And I'm now ready to take some more names. Who else would like to share?
Kathleen W., Illinois.
Okay, Kathleen.
Sharon
W.
O.
Sharon O.
Cindy C., Colorado.
Jesse C.
Cindy C.
Oh, Cindy? Is that what you said?
Cindy C. in Colorado.
Yeah, okay. Cindy C. Thank you. Anyone else?
Irene B.
Eileen B. And we might have time for one more. Okay, we'll start with these. Please go ahead, Kathleen W.
Good morning, Kathleen W. from Illinois. I want to claim my seat today, be a part of this meeting. The word that stands out to me also is to smash. This is a point we wish to emphasize and re-emphasize, to smash. And I noticed that that word smash is used another time in this chapter on the first page, the delusion that we are like other people or presently maybe has to be smashed. And in this paragraph, they're saying what has to be smashed is the idea that we can control our drinking through self-knowledge. We can stop or moderate like normal people. That idea has to be smashed. I can't stop or moderate my food. Once I ingest the toxic foods, if I think I can control them this time, I used to have to not eat that, but now I can eat it because now I can control it. For me, those ideas have to be smashed. And, you know, I pray to God that the sanity, that, you know, God would restore me to sanity in these areas, because I am totally insane when it comes to food. I think, you know, I'm like the jaywalker. You know, I think everything is just fine and I can do this, and I absolutely cannot. So I have to be reminded, I'm grateful for the fellowship. I'm grateful for my higher power. I've been abstinent now for a little bit, and it's just amazing to me that for the last 2.5 years I've been able to maintain a weight that I don't feel like I even make an effort at trying to maintain it. That's a miracle in my life. But there's always this little piece of me. There's still, you know, this little part in my brain somewhere that sometimes thinks, well, I probably can control that, you know. And I have to admit, you know, it's not completely gone. But I thank God for this fellowship, because I can, you know, I can tune in every single day and be reminded of what I am and what I need. And thank you so much for this fellowship. And with that, I'll pass.
You, Kathleen W. Sharon O., please share with us.
Hi, this is Sharon O. I am from the Blue Ridge Mountains of Western North Carolina. I really appreciate your service, and this is the first time I've shared on Vision. I've been in the program 2 years, and my first sponsor, I kept asking, why am I a compulsive overeater? Is it because I was abused? Was it because of being in abusive relationships? I was still in that victim mode where if I could find that person, that thing to blame, it was really hard for me to hear this is a spiritual disease with a spiritual solution. And the self-knowledge or even self-experience was not the answer. It took me a year or so to finally understand it was about surrendering to a power that wanted me to be happy, joyous, and free. I'd never had that before. Why would something greater than me want me to have that? I couldn't understand it. I couldn't have a concept of it. I am starting to understand it. I'm starting to live this. It is a spiritual disease with a spiritual solution that requires me to surrender each and every day. It's not easy, but it's working for me. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Sharon O. Cindy C., please share with us.
This is Cindy C. from Colorado. I'm a compulsive overeater and anorexic. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. I love this paragraph because I went through all kinds of eating treatment programs, inpatient, outpatient, went to all kinds of therapists. I thought, well, if I just work through this issue, I will be well and I can control the food. And there's a lot of well-meaning professionals out there that will tell you, well, don't deprive yourself, just eat in moderation or intuitive eating. Well, my intuition says nothing is ever enough to fill the hole inside. I know it's a spiritual problem now. It took me 20 years, about 20 years in OA to figure out I had alcoholic foods that I cannot eat safely ever. And having a spiritual solution just means I have to admit I cannot do this. My brain cannot figure it out. It never will. It's total surrender, total honesty, and I'm not there every day. But I know where the solution is, and it's in the big book, it's in the steps, and it's my higher power. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Cindy C. And Eileen B., please share with us.
Good morning. I'm Eileen B. from Louisiana. Thank you so much for your service. This idea has to be smashed. Yeah, I want to smash the idea that I can do anything on my own accord, and knowledge avails me nothing. And yet, by the grace of God, I'm recovered from bulimia. I have been for 5 years. And yet, I don't have, I don't really have recovery. I have recovery from bulimia, but that was just the symptom of the problem. My problem was my addiction to love, validation, my dependency, my control, basically myself. And I thought if I could figure out, you know, what traumas led to this, or, you know, I thought that somehow that would help. And now I have that knowledge, and it's still not helping me at all, because the solution, as the book tells us time and again, is in getting a spiritual experience, connecting to higher power, living with higher power. And I'm beginning to experience that. There's an OA local group that does two-way meditation, two-way prayer and meditation. And by that meeting, I discovered how to connect to higher power, because I couldn't do it. When I talked to God, it was just very difficult to connect. But when God talks to me, The connection is immediate and powerful. And I'm very grateful for that. I just wish that I could remember to pause, to be present, to be in the moment, to not be on automatic, to not be running the show, because that's what it's all about. But being those things and doing those things is so second nature to me. So I have to just totally revamp my entire psychic self, and I can't do it, but my higher power can. So I just pray that I am able to connect to my higher power, that I am able to pause such that I allow my higher power to speak to me. And when I hear his loving, kind words, I experience love and peace. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Irene B. We have time for two more shares. Would anyone like to share?
Kim T., Colorado.
Okay, Kim T. And anyone else?
Amanda A.
Okay, thank you both. Okay, Kim T., please go ahead.
Okay, hi, this is Kim T., recovered in Colorado, and I have really enjoyed the shares this morning because you are me and I am you. I had so much self-knowledge and gained more self-knowledge coming in the program and couldn't stop binging. So self-knowledge availed me nothing. It didn't avail me something. It availed me nothing. And the other thing I want to say that I just realized this morning or jumped out at me, the last sentence, to smash home upon our alcoholic readers, is it has been revealed to us out of bitter experience. And when you think of that word bitter, you know, so much with compulsive overeating, right? We're eating food and we're tasting it and we're tasting good food and we're tasting food that many times our alcoholic foods are not good for us, but we think they taste great. And how that bitterness, that taste, will get me every time. Because I wouldn't willingly eat something that was bitter, but every single alcoholic food that I put in my mouth turns bitter. Or did, you know, when I did eat alcoholic foods. And so I just want to say that because that word is so, I don't know, it brings to mind just different feelings. And I thought I would never do that. So if I had all my alcoholic foods were bitter, maybe I would have never tried them, but that wasn't my case. My alcoholic foods were not bitter. And I tried them over and over and over and over and over, trying to get a different effect, and it never happened. So I'm just glad to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kim T. And Amanda A., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. My name's Amanda A. I'm from Southern California. Thank you so much, everyone, for your service. I'm so very, very grateful to be here. So lots of stuff. This whole self-knowledge thing, I've been in the program a very, very short time, but my self-knowledge around the food has always been, you know, oh, well, I know this, and I've done this, and I have this experience, and you know, talking to my sponsor, she's like, you know, basically smashing that. She's like, nope, you know, you can just forget all that. And, you know, it's a little bit humbling and a little bit hard to hear sometimes because, you know, with my history and the stuff I've done around this and, you know, my career, it's like, you know, like I logically know all of this stuff and it is in, and until I came to Vision, like I tried everything, even just in the rooms of OA. And this is the first time in my life that I actually have a solid, solid hope for the future. And it's the bitter experiences I've gone through are, you know, have been crazy. And like, I should, you know, I think to myself like, oh, I should know better. But I'm really learning that higher power is going to give me the answers that I need. And sometimes I just need to pause. And I had a recent experience that higher power was trying to get my attention and I ignored it and I did what I wanted. And thank goodness it wasn't with the food and it wasn't any huge decision, but it was a very humbling experience also. And I'm grateful for that as well, because that kind of gave me a glimpse of, higher power is up there and he is talking to me and maybe I need to listen and stop thinking that I know what's best. And, you know, this is a process and I'm just so grateful that I have this meeting every day and all of you and the fellowship, and just so very grateful. So with that, I'm going to pass this morning.
Thank you, Amanda A. And we actually have time for one more two-minute share, if anybody would like to share.
Caroline S.
Go ahead, Caroline.
Hi, my name is Caroline S., and I'm from North Carolina. And I, the other day, was sitting there talking to my disease, and this passage reminds me of how our disease can be. And I wrote this, just this little thought. And I want to share it with you. This remembers to my disease here. Okay. You slam me to the ground when I am just standing there. You come up from behind me, grab me by the neck, and start strangling me and throw me with absolutely no effort, no remorse, no thought of me. You throw me to the ground. And here I look up, surprised, questioning this entity that I cannot beat. I cannot beat, but my God can. So today I will ask my God, my higher power, to help me truly surrender, give it to my God, and let it go. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Caroline S. Lovely way to end our shares today. Okay, thanks everyone for a wonderful meeting today. I'm so grateful we were together. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. And then we'll say the Serenity Prayer. And Leslie M., would you please read Vision for You on page 164?
Thank you, Kathy Case. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. I'm Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.